Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion on this beautiful May day. We are recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. Our topic today is Adam and Fallen Man, and we welcome you all. And we'll start with the morning prayer.
I'm reading from page 154 of Miscellaneous Writings and 507 of Science and Health. Honor thy father and mother God. Continue in his love. Bring forth fruit, signs following, that your prayers be not hindered. Pray without ceasing. Watch diligently. Never desert the post of spiritual observation and self-examination. Strive for self-abnegation, justice, meekness, mercy, purity, love. Let your light reflect light. Have no ambition, affection, nor aim apart from holiness. Forget not for a moment that God is all in all. Therefore, that in reality, there is but one cause and effect. Spirit duly feeds and clothes every object as it appears in the line of spiritual creation, thus tenderly expressing the fatherhood and motherhood of God. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. Before we go to the watching point, Jeremy has an announcement.
On the website, on the magnifying glass, which you go to actually, you know, do the searches on the website, on that search page underneath, there is now Mary Baker Eddy's own answers to frequently asked questions about Christian Science. And if you click on that, it has all of the links from Recapitulation in Science and Health, Questions and Answers in Miscellaneous Writings, all the questions from No and Yes, and everything from Rudimental Divine Science. So that's a good resource. And then on that search page underneath that, there's a new thing called the Index, which I've only been working on it 2 weeks, but it has a lot of stuff in there already. Just, you know, different topics, including all of the glossary items and various things from the, you know, from all the books we have. So I've been using it, so I'm sure it's
Yeah, I have used it too. It's a very good resource.
Yeah, both things very, very, very helpful. And maybe sometime you'll make it more prominent. So you don't have to look. So
well, yeah, if I didn't know how many people would want to use it, but I certainly can put it on the quick links.
The quick links, yeah. Okay.
So what else are you doing with your spare time?
Trying to call Sari, okay. All right, okay. Go ahead now, Karen.
Watch number 110. Watch lest you take the children's meat and give it unto dogs. Mark 7, verse 27. If the children represent the Christ consciousness, or the recognition of all mankind as children of God, then the dogs would symbolize the animal nature of mortal man, which is always demanding to be fed, amused, harmonized, and healed. The right application of truth is always to feed the spiritual sense of man, to reestablish the realization and consciousness of oneness with God. Does this mean that it is not legitimate to heal physical sickness? No, but the spiritual should be directed to the spiritual. True treatment should have as its object the feeding of the spiritual nature in man, of his consciousness of himself as a child of God. As this is done, because of the omnipotent and overflowing nature of truth, the physical sense is fed and healed by the crumbs which fall from the children's table. Jesus' rule is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to establish man's recognition of his divine heritage and harmony as a child of God. Thereafter, all these things will be added. This means that the human need will be met in the way that will keep the human most out of sight and attention.
Thank you. That's a good one. I mean, that's one of the main things we teach here. First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things are added unto you. You don't focus on getting more and more, except more in his understanding, knowledge, more love of him, for him, and then from him. Any other comments on that?
Well, it really did clear up that verse for me, Mark 7:27. I never really quite understood that, but this really cleared it up. And like you said, since coming here, and I've said this so many times, I was always focused on whatever personal sense would say the problem is. That's where my focus would be. And so now I it's so important, like you said, to know that that's not the focus. The focus is our relationship to God, our oneness with him, and our spirituality. And then where it says, this means that the human need, I like to put personal sense in there, personal sense will be met in the way that will keep personal sense most out of sight. So it's the incidentals that will happen, the byproduct, as you put it, or incidentals will just happen as we focus on God. And it keeps personal sense that wants to say, here I am, don't tell me I don't exist. But it just quiets it, because it just is going to reap the benefit, you know, so to speak. The harmony will come. But that's not, our harmony is with our oneness with God. And this watch really cleared that up for me.
Thank you. Yep. Very, very important. It's only a byproduct. You're seeking the wrong things when you're just seeking things. And yet I certainly did it when I first came into science. I thought that's what it was all about. I had to learn. And I learned it here, too, as well. And it changed everything. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the reaping of the benefits is not fixing matter. It's not fixing finances. It's not fixing attitudes. It's seeing things clearly in their reality as God made them.
Yeah. In God's plan, he's already made everything good. So the more we get to know what he has already planned, the more we see the good that's already there.
Thank you. Yep, that's the whole thing of it. It's already there. It's just a matter of seeing it. When you know more of God, you see it more, and it's right there with you, the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Then you wonder, how didn't I see this before?
Yeah, right. I know, it's so wonderful. It's just so amazing and wonderful. Now, many of you sent me wonderful things this week. I hope I get to all of them, but I also, things came to me as well. And there was one I found interesting. It was a newspaper article, but it was about doctor behind 80-year happiness study was shocked by the biggest predictor of a long and healthy life. I'm always amused because there's so many studies on how to be happy. And of course, in Christian Science, we know how to be happy. And it is in this week's lesson as well about happiness. The good in human affections must have ascendancy over the evil and the spiritual over the animal, or happiness will never be won. But in this article, what if the secret to longevity wasn't in the mind or the gut, but in the heart? Speaking at that the inaugural New York Times Well Festival on Wednesday, psychiatrist and researcher Dr. Robert Waldinger announced he and his teams were shocked by the biggest predictor
Predictor.
Oh, sorry, predictor of who is going to live long and stay healthy. Wallinger, the director of the Harvard Study of Adult Development, the longest-running scientific study of adult life, revealed it was how connected you were to other people, and particularly the warmth of your connection to other people. And apparently the researchers were floored by these findings. How could our relationships actually get into our bodies and actually change our physiology? While Waldinger mused. The secret sauce is recognizing that it's not enough to have relationships. You need to cultivate them as you would a garden. The people who were in the best relationships were the people who were actively involved in staying in touch with people, people who really nurtured their relationship, which most of us take for granted. And it goes on, but it says that these badges of achievement that we all set out for ourselves, money awards, followers on social media, those badges of achievement are quantifiable. So they look like they're going to make us happy, but they don't. So, I mean, basically what he's saying is love. It's love.
Divine love.
Yes.
Divine love.
Mm-hmm. Divine love. And your love for others. Now, to us, maybe this is a duh moment. But and here, you know, all you people knew this, and you didn't have a Harvard graduate degree. I'm very proud of you. My goodness. So anyway, it just shows that the wisdom that we seek is always from God, and he tells us what we need to know. But right now, there's this, and I know of it. People, you know, it's all in their body and how much they exercise and how many steps they take and what they eat. It's all focused on that. And this is, in a way, what the Watching Point is talking about. You're feeding this physical nature of yourself rather than looking at how much do you love? How much do you care? And years ago, and I wish I'd saved this article, and I hope I can remember it somewhat correctly, but it was about research, again, done. I think one of it was sort of a rich American family, and another was a poor Mexican family. And the rich American family is all focused on their bodies and what food they ate and all that kind of thing. And the poor Mexican family couldn't. They ate rice and beans or McDonald's. And guess who? But they had really strong family relationships and friendships, and they were very happy people. Okay. And so which one, when they went to the doctors, was the healthiest? The Mexicans, because they did what was important in life. And the others that were so focused on all body beautiful, they had all kinds of trouble. So again, it's what we're taught here. Mrs. Eddy says, watch your thoughts, not your body. And all of this goes along with the Watching Point, seeking the kingdom of heaven first, and everything will be added unto you. And then this was a good article too, I thought. Defining success differently. It's also in the paper. Imagine the society we could create if we valued a different kind of success. A success not defined by the brand of clothing we could afford, but by the number of people we had helped to clothe. A success not defined by the amount of money in our bank account, but how much money we use to help others. A success not defined by the size of our house, but the amount of love that was shown there. A success not defined by our level of education, but by the degree of our integrity. A success not defined by the number of likes on our Instagram post, but by how edifying and encouraging that post was to others. A success not defined by the type of car we drive, but by those we had picked up in life and set down on a better road. A success not defined by how loud our voice was, but how often we spoke up for those without a voice. A success not defined by the quality and quantity of our personal possessions, but by the level of selflessness we have shown to others. A success not defined by the number of people who have loved us, but by the number of people that we have loved. And that was by a Joshua Becker, but I thought that was very beautiful and very, very true. Mm-hmm. So don't get caught up by others' ideas of what's successful and do you fit in that category. Mm-mm. All of that really doesn't matter at all. But the second part of each sentence does matter. And that we can all do wherever we are, wherever we live, where, you know, whatever our circumstances are, we can all do those things because they are of God. And again, they are based on love.
And guess what? You'll be happy if you do.
Yes. You will be very happy.
I think this is why, you know, your reason, what is your reason for doing whatever you're doing is so important.
Yes.
Motive.
Yeah.
Motive. Motive. Yeah. Motive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes all the difference. So.
This is profound teaching. It's a secret of life. And sometimes the obvious needs to be stated. I'm so glad that you did, because that last article, that's profound teaching. Just beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. And Bruce is right. Sometimes the obvious needs to be stated, needs to be reminded, because the other is so pushed on us. Get in the whirlwind without even realizing it and lose our joy because of it. Yeah, I like that. Not how many likes you get, remember, but the content of what you put out there. Mm-hmm. So, and many of the ones that get the most likes, I'm quite puzzled by. I don't know what's great about it. They get millions of likes, but whatever. So we just keep plugging along with our truth and knowing that God is revealing it to those who need it. And that's all we need to know.
Yeah, especially with our children and the electronics.
Oh, right. And, thank you. Yeah, this is a good lesson for our children. Yeah, because that's what they're taught to seek and value and feel awful if they don't.
I know Shardy had experienced this, but I noticed when I was working with children in the schools, and I've observed the different people in my own experience, that when you had those interpersonal relationships, they were so much more compliant, or they just ate it up.
Yes.
But I hadn't really thought of it.
You actually cared, you mean?
Yeah, you actually care.
Yeah.
It's all about how much you give, not what you get.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and it's so important that we do have each other in the interactions. And someone else was telling me about, you know, they have a very elderly father or something, but every day he goes out to the the local deli and has breakfast with all his friends, and it keeps him very happy. You know, he looks forward to it, and so make sure you're not just texting, but calling and meeting with people and loving each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I moved into Sun City back in August of 2023 to take care of my mom, Sun City is a retirement community, 55 plus. And I used to drive past here all the time and think, what are they doing there all day? Just play golf? And it was it's an amazing place for to be retired, because they have 175 clubs that you can join, and the people stay connected with each other. It's not about what they're doing. It's just that they're connecting with people and their relationships. And like, we have a gentleman that comes to my billiards club every night, and he's 92, you know, and he just comes out and he plays, and everybody welcomes him when he comes in. And if somebody has a surgery or something, we get a card and we all sign it. And it's just a very connected community, and people just are very happy, I think, a lot because of the relationships that they have and the love that people share with each other.
Thank you. Yep. That's very good that they're doing that. And more people will be happy and, quote, successful, if that's what their focus is, the love behind it and the motive, as Florence said, to love.
He says that in some of some of these places, though, what I've seen, you know, it's a tendency to for the conversations to be about health, you know, oh, my doctor this, and I take this, mm-hmm. and I take that. So that's the only drawback there for me, from what I've seen.
Well, that's very
good. Keep it up, you know, on positive, spiritually oriented conversations, then that's great.
Very true.
I have to admit, that's one of the reasons why I haven't been, I don't see a lot of people that I used to, because there was so much talk about their problems and I just didn't want to enter into it. And I was trying to see, how do I change the conversation to help, you know, rather than, and I guess I avoided that. So I just didn't.
I get it. And I know a lot of people who don't. And as I've said, I spoke about it a few weeks ago. If I'm going to be in that kind of environment, I bring things to talk about that aren't about your health problems. And then I change the conversation. I said, did you hear about this? Or I'll take out that article on success. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful?
Carry that around in my purse.
Carry it around in your purse at moments such as this, because then you'll be blessing them. You'll be uplifting the conversation. Yeah. It is a duty. Because what does Mrs. Eddy say? Never breathe an immoral atmosphere unless an attempt to purify it. And that is an immoral atmosphere. And I know many people who go into it and don't do this, and they end up sinking because of it. Picture these things in your mind, and pretty soon you're like a sleepwalker doing it too. So it's, you have to be willing to do it. And this is being alive and awake. This is radiating and not absorbing. And you can do it. And what else do you have to do? This is your job as Christian Scientists, to uplift that conversation. So yeah, keep it in your purse. I keep things. So I'm ready and prepared. And if it starts going downhill, I whip it out and we're talking about something. Like, you can't sit and listen to this stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes time. I have one friend in particular. I love her very much, but it was always, you know, doom and gloom. But it took a couple of years, but now she stopped. She doesn't do it.
Good. Anymore. That's true.
But it took a long time.
They'll get the picture, because it's, you know, a habit with them, or they think everyone wants to hear and commiserate. But they'll get it. They'll know you don't. And you can be bolder, too. You can just say, I don't want to talk about this, if you have to. Or you can get up and leave if you need to. But don't participate.
What's that phrase? Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In Between.
That's Lillian's very, very, don't mess with that Mr. In Between. So, and all these, you know, this is the way to lead a long, happy, healthy, meaningful, mainly purposeful life, and not the Adam dream, but stay in the Father's house. And it can be challenging, but that's what it is to stay in the Father's house.
And you're feeding spiritually, like the nature of man, like
yes,
you said in the watch.
That's so important, feeding the spiritual nature of man. And that's so important with our children, because they start out, they're yearning for to be fed the spiritual nature. And we just give it to them. Most of them don't get it.
Yeah.
They get all the other.
So... So, all right. Okay, Miss Shardy, your contribution.
This is from the term it's by Victor Young. It's called the article on our website, The Term Man. A Christian Science treatment is not me thinking about you or for you or for you or to heal you of something. It is the truth of what you really are now and forever. And this truth blots out the suggestion that claims to be you and blots it out forever. The term man includes all that is called mankind. Man means all men and every creature individually. God is life, truth, mind, love. Man exists in and as life itself. Love itself, truth itself, and mind itself. Man is the manifestation, presence, and expression of life, mind, truth, principle, existing as perfect presence, expression, and activity, including all. Man is wanting nothing to beautify, glorify, or purify his existence. Coexistence with God. He is the very presence of eternal life itself and indestructible substance existing as the manifested presence and expression of the Father. Man is a state of complete possession of infinite mind, including within itself all ideas. Man's characteristics are love, harmony, dominion, accomplishment, clear discernment, and perfect, accurate action in everything he thinks or does. Man and his activities are the full and normal presence and expression of infinite principle, incapable of even the slightest variation from absolute perfection. Man being the presence and the expression of infinite mind, man has within himself all that constitutes completeness and harmonious being. He does not desire. He is in possession.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. It goes back to what Florence was saying. It's not something, you know, we're not adding on. We're seeing what's already here. We are that expression of God. And just to wind back briefly to what we were talking about before, about when you get in together with other people. This is why I always think when you get together with other people that you have some kind of a purpose to it. Sometimes people have asked me for other people's in our church phone numbers and things like that. But when we get together, it should be maybe to discuss a lesson, to proofread. We also now have someone, and actually it was started by Ellen Patricia. They would get together once a week to read various science books together for a half an hour. They take turns reading. And that's a wonderful thing to get together and do. Get together and read Science and Health. Get together to do something constructive. And it sounded like perhaps in Wendy's situation, they were getting together. There was a club. They were doing something. You know, sometimes a sport, yeah. But do something active. Don't just sit and talk over a cup of coffee unless you're prepared to uplift the conversation. Have a purpose to what you're doing. And then it can be enjoyable or a right idea. But certainly, now some others of you are getting together to call each other and read a science book, Bicknell Young, or anything you like. And it's a nice meeting, and it uplifts you. So, all righty. And now, thank you, Chardell. And now, Nancy. What's your
day? Yes, good morning. I wrote about a citation to and from Science and Health in our lesson. In science, man is the offspring of spirit. And it ends with, spirit is his primitive and ultimate source of being. Page 63. I looked up primitive pertaining to the beginning or origin, the original or first. And I loved ultimate, the highest, incomparable, supreme, unmatchable, unsurpassable. And source is the original or first cause. Mrs. Eddie writes in Miscellaneous Writings, when we understand man's true birthright, that he is born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, we shall understand that man is the offspring of spirit and not of the flesh. Recognize him through spiritual and not material laws, and regard him as spiritual and not material. His sonship, referred to in the text, is his spiritual relation to deity. It is not, then, a personal gift, but is the order of divine science. The apostle urges upon our acceptance this great fact, quote, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Mortals will lose their sense of mortality, disease, sickness, sin, and death in the proportion that they gain the sense of man's spiritual preexistence as God's child, as the offspring of good and not of God's opposite, evil or a fallen man, end quote.
Wonderful. It's Miscellaneous Writings.
Yes, page 181.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Yep. So again, and this is why our spiritual nature must be fed. Why? Because we're spiritual. That's why we're spiritual. It has to be fed. Doesn't make sense. The matter belief is the Adam dream, the mist that came up. And the lesson is just full of signs and health. Just about every statement goes back to your spiritual nature. And sometimes we shall learn how spirit, the great architect, has created men and women in science. I said, spirit, the great architect, has created me. Isn't that wonderful? Just think about it.
Yes.
And then we ought to weary of the fleeting and false and cherish nothing which hinders our highest selfhood. And it is love. Again, to go back to that article about what makes you happy, love. Love, love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, and elevating it. It is love that does it. So if we don't feed our spiritual nature, it'll grow sad from lack of use. So, but we are, and we know the importance of it. And that's why we do what we do, read our lesson and think about God and that. Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. That is our why we're here. I tell myself that every morning when I get up. Make sure that's what I'm doing, because that's what's important. So, spiritual nature. And then, Jeremy, the golden text.
Acts. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed.
Thank you. And that first part of the lesson is full of the word covenant, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it before, and Carrie sent me some beautiful articles on covenant. A firm promise on the part of God, a pledge to be regarded with all the sacredness of a compact, that he will do certain things on certain conditions. And in this it says seed. Seed is sometimes used to denote an individual. And but then kindreds. It refers to all nations. So it's a covenant made individually and then to all nations. And it's very, very important that you make this covenant, and our forefathers, the prophets, all of them, they made covenants with the Lord and they kept it. And because they kept it, God kept his promise. God's promises are kept, as the hymn says. But when they disobeyed the covenant and didn't do it, what would happen?
They would get out of the Father's house and
yes.
Frequently it resulted in slavery.
Thank you.
Captured.
Thank you. That's what eventually it does, results in slavery. You are captured and taken over. The very, very awful thing. And I was talking to someone recently about, you know, how awful the Bible is, all the terrible stories and everything. Well, it's true, but they're all rich with lessons if you learn them, but you have to understand those lessons. Otherwise, it does sound pretty awful. But, it's good to be reminded. Keep that covenant with God. Last week, we talked about not having the fear of God, but the love of God. We keep the covenant because we love him.
It'd be more awful to have to go through it again because nobody told you how to avoid it.
Exactly.
And I've seen so many people searching for purpose. And when they say children of the prophets, it tells you right there, you know, if people believe that, yes, everybody has a purpose. The prophets were tellers of things to come. And certainly children were part of when it happened. All right. So people want to know purpose in life and find satisfaction that comes with it. They need to look to prophets and to God, and they'll find it.
Yes.
Today, people still going to school, whatever. What am I going to do with my life? God spells it out.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. So if you haven't made a covenant with God, you should. And it's between you and God. We were told years ago to do it. Mr. Evans used to tell us to make covenant. And I mean, honestly, partly why I'm still here is because of that covenant. You make a promise, a vow to God, you keep it no matter what. No matter how hard things seem to be or how confused you might get or whatever, you keep that promise to God that you're going to do.
It's got to be non-negotiable.
And I'm living proof that he's kept his promise to me. It's on the website, an article called The Covenant. And it's about Adam Dickey was writing about, many of you know it probably, but I know I've talked about it before, but Adam Dickey writes of his father, "I never knew a better man than my father. His life was one of uprightness and purity, and he was admired and respected by all who knew him. After he passed on, his children found his diary under the date of August 7th, 1859, and the following entry, which gives a better insight into my father's character than I ever could." Do you want to read it, Bruce? The dark print.
"In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I thus solemnly enter into a covenant with my Creator and Redeemer, having for its end the glory of God and the salvation of my soul, and that I may be directed aright at this time. I beseech thee, Heavenly Father, to grant me the enlightening influences of the Holy Spirit, both to dictate the course most proper to be pursued, and to strengthen me that I may be kept faithful in the discharge of the following duties for Jesus' sake. Amen. First, I give myself, body, soul, and spirit, into the hands of my Creator to be used as God's will may direct. Second, that I will at least twice every day approach Him in prayer for the pardon of my sins and full development of my Christian character. Third, that I will at least once each day read and endeavor to understand some portion of His holy word. Fourth, that I will endeavor to become reconciled to any with whom I may be at variance, and make restitution to such as I may have in any way injured. Fifth, that in all matters of doubt or uncertainty, I will keep the example of Jesus before me and endeavor to act according to my knowledge of His will. 6th, that I will keep a journal in which to record my observation and reflections. For it is evident I have lost much by not having kept any record of the various events of my life.
Thank you. That's an example of a very good covenant. Now, this listening to it, this will heal you of people pleasing, okay? Because when you try to do something because you want to do it for your mother or your spouse or whatever, maybe you can do it for a little while, but it won't last, or it'll result in total misery because pretty soon they're under their control. This, your covenant with God, you do it because you love God and you want to serve Him and please Him and do the best you possibly can every day. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's a powerful thing to do. And if you have failed to do it, you better do it, okay? I'm living proof. It's very powerful to do this. And maybe, you have it in you, and many do, just because you want to serve and please God. But to put it down like he did and to think about it will keep you on the straight and narrow. It will keep you in the Father's house and out of this Adam dream. Because you're obeying his commandments, and what he's promised to do, he will do. You will not be deserted. Because you have set your love upon me, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. You will call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and I will honor you. With a long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. The 91st Psalm, God's promise to you as you obey him.
One of the things that you find when you read the history, at least of the United States, and a lot of almost every forefather, that's the one thing they say, This idea of covenant and the Bible and liberty, they go together.
Thank you.
And that you keep your liberty otherwise.
Thank you, because that's just what Bruce said, you come under slavery.
Right.
So it was in the forefathers. They did covenants
too.
Yeah. I don't know where we lost it. Before Ms. Evans talked about it, I don't think I'd ever heard about it or thought about it. So thank you. Yes, this was something that was passed on from generation to generation. And then something that someone sent me was very sweet. And she said, I've been listening to the Roundtable Archives most evenings before bed and most mornings before getting out of bed. On one episode, you'd wondered why the people in The Chosen touched the door of their house on leaving and entering. I am part of the Messianic Jewish tradition, a group of Jews and Gentiles who keep the Jewish lifestyle and who believe that Jesus or Yahshua, as we call him, is the Messiah that the Jewish nation has been waiting for. In the Jewish tradition, a mezuzah, I hope I'm pronouncing these things right, is attached to the doorpost of each home. In fact, the word mezuzah is a Hebrew for doorpost. Inside it contains a rolled up paper on which is written the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and the Ten Commandments. When Jews enter and leave their homes, they touch the mezuzah and even kiss them or kiss the hand after. This represents their commitment to their covenant with God and a reminder of God's presence and protection for all those in that household. The mezuzah is decorated in many ways, but it usually has the letter Shin, like our sound, inscribed on it, representing one of the names of God. I hope this gives some light on the custom. I was very grateful to get that. Again, a covenant. And I know in our church we were taught when we leave the house to know that God protects it and to think about it in that way, not to just race out the door, but give a prayer.
Yeah, Lillian taught me that.
To do that. Good. when she leaves the house. Good. Very important. So yes, it's a lovely Jewish tradition that we can learn from and find out about. So thank you to that person who sent it to me. It was a Debbie. And also, Elizabeth from New Hampshire sent me a beautiful article by the spiritual patient. The name of it is A Mist Waters the Ground. And it was also very beautiful and helpful. I won't have time to go through the whole thing today, but maybe we'll put it on the website. I don't know what the date of it is, that was to say. So, but we have spiritual consultations on.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be fine.
Yeah. And then this was a very beautiful poem sent to us from Andrea in Idaho. She sent me something else too. I'll have to go over another time. But it was written by, I can find it, a Carol Norton, who was an early worker in the Christian Science movement. And she said, this week's lesson reminded me of a hymn in the new CS hymnal. And she knows that we don't use it, but it was looked up and it was surprised discover it was actually an altered poem written by Carol Norton, who also wrote Studies in Character, a 1906 book, which I wasn't familiar with. So anyway, this poem is, "One by one, pure thoughts, and wholly lift us out of self and sin. One by one, bright gleams of glory show the goal we all would win. One by one, our trusts are strengthened as our lives to God we give. One by one, our days are lengthened as in love we move and live. One by one, our aims grow purer as our deeds reflect our God. One by one, our songs are clearer as we rise above the clod. One by one, the years move onward to the time of prophets told. One by one, their words float homeward, singing of one Lord, one fold. Then within love's ever presence, we shall live arrayed in white, know in full that great effulgence, which men call the infinite. Know the mysteries of his kingdom, hear the chants of spirit sung, be at one with that great wisdom from which all creation sprung." So I thought that was very beautiful as well. And I thank you all for sending me various things. And we will end now with a short article that Carrie sent.
The article is entitled "Mother," by William Bradford Dixon, and it appeared in the journal in 1895. Mother, what magic in the word. All the magnificence of the dim and storied past, all the great promises of futurity, hold not the simple grandeur of that holy word. It echoes through all time, past, present, and future, and drifts out into eternity as the mightiest word in man's vocabulary, the synonym of purity, goodness, faith, trust, loving kindness, noble self-sacrifice, boundless unselfishness, tenderness, forbearance, meekness, virtue. When interpreted spiritually and applied to God, it brings to mankind the highest concept of God as good, binding the broken heart, bringing peace and rest to the weary ones, and hope to the downcast, healing the sin-sick and suffering. Throughout all the ages past and throughout all time to come, it has been and will still continue to be corrective, alterative, and regenerative to the human character, sublime and eternal in its significance. Ponder this. Then remember, We have with us today a true spiritual mother, bearing in her hand the book of divine love, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Mighty the age, anointed with the oil of gladness, fraught with infinite possibilities, cradled in the divine love, big with eternal promises. All hail.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.